It's the importance of praying the round. Divine 24, what is it, July 4th, 1928. My daughter Louisa, when one wants to make a purchase, one pays advances. Did we read that one already?
No.
Okay, thank you. The more advances are given, the more the purchase is secured, the less remains to be paid. And when one comes to the final acts of the definitive purchase. Now, since you, Louisa, want the kingdom of my divine will, and see, we want this as well. We want to be linked to Louisa. It is necessary for you to give advances. Every time you go around in it, asking for its kingdom over and over again, admitting your acts on behalf of all for the same purpose. If you add as many more advances to secure a purchase of the kingdom of my fiat, and since it is the purchase of it that you want to make, it is necessary that your acts be done in it, that they acquire the value of the currency coined by my divine will. Otherwise, it would not be a valid currency. And what would circulate for the purpose of it? It would be a currency from outside the kingdom. In fact, one who wants to purchase the divine will must give acts of advance done in it, and my will deigns to coin them with the value of its fiat in such a way that the soul can give the necessary advances for the purchase of it. This is the utility of your little round of my fiat, the acts that you admit in it. Your asking over and over again for the coming of its kingdom are necessary things that are needed for the great purchase of the divine will of the kingdom. Did I, Jesus, not do the same for redemption? I had to pay the advance of my acts before my celestial Father. I had to pay for all in order to obtain the kingdom of the redemption. And when I made the whole payment, it was signed by the divinity that the kingdom was mine. Therefore, continue placing your advances if you want to have it signed that the kingdom of my fiat is yours. So here Jesus is saying, you know, when we do the round of creation, it's always for the kingdom. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. Link to Louisa so that the kingdom be on earth as it is in heaven. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. So that the kingdom of God be on earth as it is in heaven. This is what we want to do. And everything that we see in the kingdom, in the creation, and what we pray in the redemption, it's always for the kingdom. This is what the Lord is asking of Louisa and now asking of us. Volume 30, January 12, 1932. Now, blessed daughter Louisa, wanting to give the kingdom of my divine will, it is necessary that you go around in its divine properties. And I, Jesus, leading you by the hand, making known to you its interminable seas of goods, of prodigies, the surprising wonders, the joys, the happiness of all the things of infinite value that it possesses, so that by knowing it, you love it, and would fall in love so much that you would not only not know how to live without it, but it would give your life in order to acquire a kingdom so holy, peaceful, and beautiful. Okay, so Jesus is saying he wants us to see this. As he showed it to Louisa, he wants us to see it. Okay, so when you're praying the rosary, and I'm sorry we didn't pray the rosary together today, please pray the rosary, Holy Rosary, on your way home. And again, it's the rosary is the greatest weapon next to the Holy Mass. And the rosary is going to protect you. The scapular is going to protect you. Holy exercise water is going to protect you. Everything that you pray, God is going to use those prayers, not only for you, but for your family and for the whole earth. And we need protection. So God's going to give everything over to the devil. He's going to say, hey, you want it? It's yours. I've got a kingdom coming. And Jesus says the world has to be purified. He says the large majority of humanity will be gone. Now, the large majority of humanity does not want Jesus Christ. So they can't be here because his kingdom's coming. So what we want to do is we want to pray for those souls that at least they're not lost for eternity. That they will be at least go to purgatory to be purged of their sins. But Jesus says the survivors will be living in the divine will. So again, that means that we have to learn this. I want to survive. I want to be here. I want to I want to be in the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I really want to experience that. God might have other plans, but what I have to do is I have to know this. I have to learn this. I have to love this. So when it comes, I can possess it. Again, I have to be purged as well. And the purging is going to be a really tough thing, because you're going to see how you've offended God, number one, but you're going to see how you offended people, how you have hurt your family, how you've hurt your neighbors, how you have hurt your friends and co-workers. A lot of times when people go to come to confession, they say, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned." You know what this person did to me? And I'm not here to hear about their sins. I'm here, what are your sins? And it's most people are so... They don't know how sinful they are. They have overlooked their sinfulness. They have overlooked their just unholiness. And see, God is asking us to be perfect. See, we have to when you look at your life, your sins, you have to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. It's like sifting. You know, you might not have the large boulders, the great sins, but you got to go through your life until you're finally down to not the rocks, but the stones, the pebbles, but the fine dirt. You have to be sifting. You know, so that you really want perfection, and then you have to avoid sin. You really have to turn from sin. Most people, unfortunately, look at the sins of others, and they think they're pretty good. And man, when that illumination of conscience comes, it's going to be horrendous. I remember once I was in Japan, and they said, "You will see the sins." You will see the demon within that you have been nurturing all your life. You have not been nurturing Jesus Christ, but you've been nurturing a demon. And I'm thinking about that. And I went. This guy came to confession, and I never look when somebody goes to confession. But I just looked over after 14 hours of flying, and I looked, and I could see a demon in this person. And I went, "Man, am I tired?" I said, "That 14-hour flight does a number on you." But what happened was that then, what was happening? It was a habitual sin that they never got rid of. Now, during absolution, the devil is silenced. But he's not gone. And so you have to get rid of all sin. Now, what is a habitual sin? You're feeding that demon, whether it's anger or greed or lust or all the vices. Every time you get angry and you got a demon of anger, you're feeding it. You're keeping it alive. See, you're not feeding Jesus. You're not letting him come alive in your heart. So what's going to happen is, when the time of illumination comes, we're going to see a lot of the sins in our life that we have kept alive by our anger, our greed, are there, and it's going to be terrifying for people, because they're going to see demons within themselves. I'm not talking about possession. I'm talking about obsession. It's going to be very horrendous for a lot of people. Some people will die of fright seeing how many demons are within them. Again, we have to be free of everything. If you have a sin that is habitual, then you've got to be freed of it either now, or it's going to be ripped from you, and that's going to be horrible. So, a lot of people don't even know they're sinning. And they have these demons, they have these spirits within them, and it's horrible. Our job is to pray that we be freed and they be freed. That God heals us and restores us. Again, it's very, very necessary that we really go through our lives with a fine-tooth comb. That's why general confession is good. A general confession means you go through your whole life. And if you haven't done that, find a priest that you can spend some time with and go through your life from 0 to 7, how you treated your parents, how you treated your brothers and sisters. 7 to 14, how you treated your friends and neighbors. 14 to 21, how you treated people. And then you go through your whole life like that. This is my life. This is how I lived. This is what I fell into. This is what I am sorry for. And again, there will be great tears of sorrow when you go through your life like that. See, you can't be you and get into the kingdom. You've got to become a child of God, freed from even your human inadequacies. And that's what the divine will does. As you go through the divine will, God shows you things in your life that you need to confess. Maybe things that you never thought were sins. But then as you read the divine will, you go, oh my God, that was not right. And so therefore, God has given you an opportunity to be free. And use this time that God has given you while there is still time. But this is not yet everything. Your part is what is needed. Your pledges, your advances, your contacts. Our divine love, our divine goodness is so much that it wants to give our divine will as though property that it belongs to the soul, that it places at her disposition what the divine will has done so that creatures might make use of it as equivalent pledges and contracts in order to receive this great gift that is so wonderful. Now, as you, Louisa, go around in creation and you look at the sky and you feel happy and seeing the beautiful azure vaults studded with stars, the sun shining with light, and recognizes and feeling its beating in the divine fiat that has created it for love of creatures, and your little love springing forth from your heart loves God who has loved you so much, your love is sealed in the heights of the sky, sealed in the light of the sun. And you, Louisa, give us, Triune God, the sky for a pledge, the stars for advance, the sun for contract, because they were created for you. And it is enough that you possess our holy divine will as life, that the divine will is already yours, that can be the valid contract in order to obtain its kingdom. So this is what Louisa is doing, and Jesus is asking us to cooperate with Louisa, to link ourselves with Louisa so we can do the same. And the same with you as you go around in all the other created things. You, Louisa, would recognize them and love us. However, many times you repeat your going around, so many times that you repeat the pledges and you make the contracts and you arrange to dispose things, to give graces, to give what? To give graces and helps in order to give as a kingdom the great fiat, the great gift of the fiat voluntas tua as it is in. As in heaven, so on earth. We know that the creature does not have anything to give us. I have nothing to give God. I can give God nothing. There's nothing I can give God. I can give God my prayers and my love, but it's nothing compared to God. So he says, the creature does not have anything to give us, and our love imposes itself to giving our acts as if they were theirs, hers, ours. Placing our works in her hands as divine money, that she would have sufficient means in order to be able to contract with our Supreme Being. But if she doesn't have anything, she has the little love issued from ours in the act of creating her. Therefore, she has a particle of the infinite love of God. That's it. So God gives us himself. Look at the Holy Eucharist. God Almighty gives us himself as our food. And he asks us to become like him. To give up our human misery, to embrace divinity. And now he's given us, and that's as Catholics we know this. Now he's given us the sun, the moon, the stars. He's given us everything. As they're his. He gives them to us so that we can give them back to him. So that the kingdom can be established. And when the creature loves us, she places the infinite at attention. We feel the magnetic strength of the particle of our infinite love that hovering in her loves us, elevates, extends, and reaches even to us and wants to enter into the infinite from which she came forth. So we return back to God. It's full circle. From God, back to God. Again, our Lord loves us so much that there is no way to put in human terms how much God wants to give us. There's no way. There's no way to talk heavenly things to humans. It's so infinite. It's so beautiful. It's so perfect. It's so filled with love that All God is saying is what Our Lady said. How can I do this to please God? Let it be done to me as You say. Total, we get in the arms of God and we let Him hold us. We're nothing. You know, He wants us to recognize our nothingness, and He is the Almighty. He is God alone. We can't insult Him anymore. We have to turn back to Him, adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him, glorifying Him, worshiping Him. That's what humans are made for. To fall in love with God. To participate in the divine adoration of God. For all eternity, to enter into that abundant, infinite love is what God wants for us. And so He's given us the great gift of being Catholic, being baptized, being confirmed. He's given us this great, great gift. And now He says, I want to give you more. All I ask is your fiat. All I ask is your yes. And this is what Jesus says. Oh, how she enraptures us. The ardor of our love, we say, who can resist the strength of our infinite love that issues forth from the little creature, Louisa, and the soul is linked to Louisa, and loves us. To give heavens and earth seems to us as little in exchange for her little love. Although little, possesses a particle of the infinite, and that is enough for us. Oh, how sweet and dear is the precious pledge of the love of a soul. See, here God is, He's given us the infinite, image and likeness, and He wants that in return. He wants us to give it His back, as even if it's just a speck, a particle, because it's divine. God loves the divine. And since there is nothing in the round of the centuries that has not gone forth from our holy divine will, your going around in the creation of man is a visit that you, Louisa, make in order to know what it worked and in what great, what seas of graces of sanctity of love He was put forth in the act of being created. So we're talking about Adam. And you would want to make all yours that love in order to love us, Triune God, in your contact with us and with those same acts with which we created Adam. So again, what did God breathe into Adam? This dirt. What did God breathe into dirt but His image and likeness? And that's what God now wants to breathe in us. He wants to let us participate. We have been redeemed by Jesus, co-redeemed with Mary, by Mary. And now God wants to fill us with sanctity. Again, it's going to happen. God wins. The devil is gone. It's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. We're going to enter into eternity. The kingdom is going to be established. This is a fact. This is a reality. And our God is saying, look at the world, look at heaven. Which one do you want? The world is going to go the way of the world. It's going to be gone. Heaven is going to be for eternity. So He's asking us, pleading with us, to really embrace divinity, to embrace this abundant life. In the same way, when you, Louisa, go around in the creation of the Virgin Mary in her seas of graces and my coming upon earth and everything that I did and suffered, you place yourself in order to contract with the Queen of Heaven, my life itself, and all of my divine acts. See, this new Adam, Jesus, this new Eve, Mary, is greater than what God gave to Adam and Eve. That's why on Holy Saturday we say, oh, happy fault of Adam. Oh, happy fault. Because now God has given us more. And we get a glimpse of this as we read the Book of Heaven. We get a glimpse of this and how spectacular it is. Volume 33, November 26, 1933. I was making my round in the works of the divine fiat, and since I am so little, I felt the need of being carried in God's arms. Otherwise, either I get lost in its immensity and multiplicity of His works, and I do not know how to go on. And since He wants to make His works known in me, where His speaking and operating love finds itself, and this says how much and how He has loved me. Therefore, He carries me in His arms, and He conducts me through the interminable ways of His most holy divine will. But this is not enough. In each of His works, He encloses me, for however much I can contain it. the love of every single work. So God is letting us participate in divinity. He's letting us participate in His creation. So it's not just to have a pet. Oh, I got a pet dog. No, it's to participate in the creation of all animals, past, present, and future. I mean, we have no idea of how much God loves us. I like my little cat. Oh, God bless you with your little cat. But God wants to fill us with how He created the cat. He wants us to know scientifically every aspect of that cat. Not only that cat, but all cats, all dogs, all horses, everything. He wants us to participate in Him. This is what's so spectacular about this great gift of the divine will. He says, He wants to hear in me the sound of love that each work contains. Even I am one of His works and an act of His will, having done everything for my love. He wants me to enclose in myself all the sounds and keys of love that His work contains. So here, this is why science is great. Because what God is going to do is He's going to let us participate in how He is doing things, physics. He's going to let us participate in the minute to the mass universes that are all around us, the galaxies. See, God wants us to participate in Him. All the whole universe is made for man, Jesus said. He says, but when we let our human will be the place for God, then everything works perfectly. So while I went around in His works, beloved Jesus surprised me, told me, my blessed daughter Louisa, you cannot understand how much it pleases me, God, to see you, Louisa, go around in the works created by us. They are pregnant with love, and as you go around in their midst, they pour forth love and they give you the love with which they are filled. And this is one of the reasons why I, God, want you, Louisa, to go around in all our works. It's the same thing. Wherever you are, summer, winter, spring, fall, it doesn't matter. God has you there for a reason. Whether it's the ocean or whether it's the desert, He wants us to go around in all the works, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him, glorifying Him, worshiping Him. You know, it's like with Google Earth. I mean, you go up and you look down on Earth. And if one of the fun things you can do is you can look down on the Sahara Desert from maybe about 100 miles up. And what do you see? You see rivers and streams. You see the place was covered with water at one point. And Jesus said to Louisa, do you know why there are deserts? He says, because Adam went out of the will of God. And then He uses this word, which I think is kind of interesting. He says, if Adam did not go out of the will of God, He says the deserts would be packed with people. Can you imagine? The deserts packed with people. God loves people. And if you go up, just get Google Earth, look down, you see rivers, riverbeds, streams that were there. You see, it was populated at one point, but when Adam sinned, the earth just dried up. See, the earth is going to go back to perfection. God's going to shake up the earth. That's what Scripture says. Mountains will be leveled, valleys will be filled. He has to do this. He's going to reorder the earth. He has to do it. He has to bring about a correction. And it's going to be, for most people, it's going to be terribly frightening because they don't know God. We, on the other hand, it's going to be shocking, but it's going to be delightful because we're going to see God working. We're going to give our fiat as things begin to start, crumbling around us. It's going to be really interesting. But this is not everything. My divine will is not content in making her go around in our works, but after she has finished going around, letting her know so many things about creation and filling her even to the brim with divine love, it conducts her in its arms into the womb of the Supreme Being, which casts her like a little stone into intermittable seas of its attributes. And the little daughter of our divine will, Luisa, what does she do? Like a little stone cast into the sea, she makes all the water, all the waters of the sea ripple. So she moves all the sea of our divine being. Again, who is this Luisa Picaretta? I mean, who is she that God wants to bring about the second generation of the children of light? And while she swims in it, she drowns with love. She drowns with light. She drowns with sanctity. She drowns with wisdom. She drowns with goodness and so forth. There's no escaping this. There's no getting out of it. She drowns in this. God is going to bring about something spectacular. And oh, how beautiful it is to see Luisa, to hear what Luisa says while she feels drowned. All your love is mine. And I, Luisa, put it in act to pray to you, Lord, that the kingdom of your will come on earth as it is in heaven. Your sanctity is mine, Lord. Your light is mine, Lord. Your goodness is mine, Lord. Your mercy is mine, Lord. It belongs to me. This is what Jesus has breathed into her. And see, this is what God wants to give to us. Not a holy life, not a good life, not a saintly life, a divine life. Again, no one possesses this yet. All God is looking for, he says, I want to see the souls that want it, that prove to me that they want it. And then he says, and then I will give it to them. Okay, how do we prove to Jesus that we want this? By reading, by studying, by putting this into practice. This is, you put down all the other books and focus on this. And watch what God is going to do. It is not only my littleness that prays to you, no, but your seas, your oceans of divine power, your oceans of divine goodness that pray to you, Lord, that urge you, Lord, that assail you, Lord, that your holy divine will reigning on earth come quickly. Hurry. See, Jesus said to Luisa, I will wait centuries if I have to. Let's not let the Lord wait centuries. Let's pray to God. Let's beg the Lord that this happen. You know, this is a gift that he's given to very few people. Out of the 7 billion people on earth, he's given it to a couple thousand. Why? Because there was only a few people at Bethlehem. A few wise men and a few shepherds. That's it. The greatest thing that happened, God becoming man, the incarnation, a few people, the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Lord. And then at the Last Supper, there was 12. At Pentecost, there was 120. At the resurrection, there was nobody there. See, what God loves, he keeps hidden. He does not want to give this out because if he gives it out and people say no, he can't give it to them. We're the ones that say, fiat, yes, I want this. Why? For everybody. I want this so that the human generations are come back. They all come back to God. This is the gift that God is giving up to us. And he says this very clearly. He says, how do you do this? Go to Luisa. How do you do this? Go to Luisa. In fact, one sees the littleness of Luisa acting as queen of our divine being, reuniting our immensity and our power together, making us, trying God, ask ourselves what Luisa wants and what we want. It's the same thing. This is astonishing. What Luisa wants is basically what God wants. She understands well that there's no other good than our holy divine will alone. And in order to obtain all the intent, Luisa makes it asked by the infinity of our divine qualities, and one sees the tiny little one, little yet powerful, enriched with the prerogatives of our divine qualities as if they were hers, which gives her such charm of beauty as to enrapture us, Triune God, debilitating us, Triune God, in order to make us do what Luisa wants and what we want. It's the same thing. Again, Louisa is little. She's nothing. Jesus said to her, you're nothing but a blade of grass. That's what he says to her. You're nothing but a blade of grass. But since you have my holy divine will, you're everything for me. Enrapturing God, debilitating God, in order to make God do what Louisa wants. This is astonishing. This is astonishing. That's why we've been praying for Thomas Peters for the last 9 days. To see God work through Louisa. See, Jesus wants the world to know Louisa. And the miracles, that's why those little relic cards are very, very important from Father Bucci. These little relic cards are very, very important because you're going to see miracles like you've never seen before. It's not one miracle that you're going to see, but miracles upon miracles upon miracles that you're going to experience. Why? Because Jesus wants us to know this little newborn. It's not one miracle like with Pope John Paul II. It's not one miracle like with Mother Teresa. You're going to see miracles upon miracles upon miracles of how important Louisa Picaretta is. Don't doubt what God's going to do. As he says over and over again, Louisa says right here, Louisa enraptures us. A soul enrapturing God. Why? Because she possesses the divine will. Jesus says, Louisa becomes our divine echo. Louisa does not know how to say anything else but to us, triune God, nor to ask for anything other than that our holy divine will would invade everything and would form one single will with all creatures. That's Louisa. That's why our God is asking us to link ourselves to her. You know how glorious this is. Volume 33, June 10th, 1935. So I continue my abandonment in the supreme volition and going around in the extensions of the sky that serves as a pavement and a footstool of the celestial fatherland and as a fault to the wayfarers down here. The azure fault seemed to me that it did double duty. It served as a sumptuous pavement to the blessed regions and as a royal vault to the wayfarers, uniting one and the other together in order to make that one would be the will and the love of everyone. So here, when you look at heavens now, it's the footstool of the saints in heaven. It's the ceiling for us on earth. It's we can look to the heavens with a delight. We can look to the heavens with joy in our hearts. I mean, this is a truth that Jesus is revealing to us. Therefore, prostrating myself together with the sky, I called those up there and those on earth to adore my God, my Creator, prostrating ourselves all together so that one would be the adoration, the will, and the love of all. See, it's heaven's coming to earth. We're calling this fire down from heaven. Come, divine will. So while I did this, my sweet Jesus added, my little daughter Louisa, the first duty of the creature is to adore the triune God who created her. So our first duty is to enter into this divine adoration. That's how we began. We are called to enter into this divine adoration. Okay, this is not holy. This is not good. This is not saintly. This is divine. Our Lord is asking us to let go of the holy things in order to embrace the divine. And I know some people have it difficulty. Well, I want to be a saint. Well, I told you this before. This one nun that I met, she says, I want to be a saint. I said, well, you can be a great saint if you want that. And she goes, if I want to be a saint, I don't want the divine will. And I went, poor thing, and she went away in anger, angry as she was when I met her. It's the same thing. You can't, you have to be docile. You have to be submissive. You have to be surrendered to this gift. These are three words that are hated today. Again, our job is to be surrendered, to be docile, submitting to God. Let it be done to me as you say. Jesus says, he because, very, again, I'll read it again. The duty and the substance of sanctity, since all created things possess and hold as naturally the imprint of the true adoration, so the creature united to them, with them, can lead the most perfect adoration to God who has created her. Therefore, every created thing is one profound adoration that they send to the triune God who created Adam, who created them. And then the creature, uniting herself to them in virtue of our volition, places them all in adoration, giving to God the duty of each soul who doesn't give God the duty of adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him, glorifying Him, and worshiping Him. And elevated herself over everyone, Louisa brings everything to us, triune God, and comes to beat in our heartbeat and to breathe in our breath. This is the breath that God wants to breathe in us. The breath, the Ruah of God that He breathed into Adam, He now wants to give this to us. So I'll end by praying the consecration prayer. And if we can kneel, please kneel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into the little group of the first children of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech and implore your endless light, that it may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you in such a way that I may do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life. I will banish it forever and form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take me by the hand and clothe me in the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my tender mother. You will guard your child and will teach me to live and maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the divine will. You will teach me the divine will, and I will be attentive in listening to you. You will lay your blue mantle over me, so that the infernal serpent may not dare to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good, Jesus, give your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me, to form me. Joseph, you will be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of the will of God. Guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial court, come to my help, and I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. Please stay kneeling. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, to the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, there's a couple things before we go. I think, Joan, you have some things.
Yeah.